Curtain Radio.
Well, it's been so easy for so long for all of us to be able to go to our favourite retail outlet, I suppose, and buy items that are far below normal costings, you know, that you normally go and spend a whole lot more on fashion or homewares items. But now, of course, over the years, we've been getting them so less expensive. And joining us online to find out whether we should continue doing this or look at manufacturing more locally is Change for Business and People expert Paul Hannon. Paul, good afternoon to you.
Jenny, how are you? Thanks for having us on today.
Oh, it's a great pleasure, Paul. It's a subject, I think, that all of us are starting to throw around in our mind. I don't know that there's ever been a lot of guilt leading up to the virus about us purchasing lower-priced items. I mean, a lot of retail outlets have just boomed because of it. But are we starting to rethink?
Oh, look, I think we are, but I guess I'd like to say we're rethinking and rejigging, but I'm not sure if we can, as much as I hate saying it as an Australian. Mm. We all, you know, a lot of people like the $5 T-shirt or the $15,000 car, and I was talking to one of my neighbours about this, and I drive a nice car, but somebody bumped one of my back tail lights, and he said to me, he reminded me, he said, Paul, I asked you if you wanted an original or did you want one in China? Yeah. And unfortunately, you know what I said. The one in China was exactly the same one, and it was a third of the price.
It's human nature, Paul, isn't it? Really, sorry to interrupt there. It is human nature, isn't it, for us not wanting to have to buy so much more for an item that we can get exactly the same look and maybe not the quality. Would you question that?
Yeah, look, I think so. The thought of, like a lot of people say, it's cheap, but it's not. It's economical. Of course, there are cheap things made in China, as in cheap being nasty. But there's a lot of economical things made in China that are excellent. Like my tail light for my car. Yeah, I could not tell the difference. It looks exactly the same as the other one. And it works well. It's a great job. And all the panel beaters who are Aussies, you know, their beer in one hand saying, mate, that's the way to go. So, you know, I've interviewed a lot of my clients who, without sounding off too much, they've said that, you know, dealing with Chinese companies is fantastic. No one's dealing with the communist regime. They're dealing with Chinese people who are very easy to deal with, and in some cases easier to deal with than other nations. And look, it opens up, if I may, Jenny, and if it doesn't want to go down this track in your discussion, it's fine. It opens up the whole thing about what should we be doing in Australia with our workforce. Is it manufacturing, or is it more highly skilled in other areas that are going to be needed as the world changes? Like 70% of the workforce had to go remote through COVID, and I know companies who employ thousands of people are saying it's a dress rehearsal for what's coming. Whether it's a pandemic or whatever. So maybe as Australians, we've got to think, if we want to maintain our standard of living, that we've got to re-engineer how we think, what we work at. And we're not going to bring back, you know, manufacturing in the areas of consumerism that we're used to. That horse may be bolted.
I think a lot of people would agree with you there, Paul. A lot of changes. The other thing you mentioned, which is quite relevant, the simple thing of competition, like you say, dealing direct with Chinese manufacturers has been a lot easier than doing so within our own country, which is sad to hear. And of course, it doesn't mean to say the materials that they're using and the technology that they're using is not equal to anything else in the world. It's just, surely tell me, it would have to be the salary component, wouldn't it?
Well, that's what I thought until I started digging deeper, and it's a very good point, Jenny, that Chinese workers, they earn well, but their productivity, mindful that they'll stay and get a job done until the units are made. And I can't say the Australian company, but we all use their products. If I said the name, everyone would identify with it. And to get that product, as it used to be made in New South Wales, you've got labour force that say, no, we're not going to make that many units in that time.
Yeah. Would the...
They're inflexible.
I'm just wondering, I don't mean to lay blame or any concern in any particular areas, but would the union movements have had this control over all these years? Would that be an element?
Oh, it's definitely an element. Absolutely is an element. And look, I come from a family that was built in labour heartland of Sydney, you know, West Sydney. My dad was a labourer and my grandfather worked on the railway. So I'm not sort of sitting in some sort of
bubble,
you know, academic bubble somewhere. And my first job was carrying and helping make cast iron bars. So I get it, but we had to be flexible. And I moved out of that whole mentality because I wanted to be able to create different ways of doing the job. And so I was a maverick, and it didn't fit into the union way of thinking, using that as a generic term, because I'm sure there's lots of good things that come out of that union movement. But it's made us inflexible. And whereas Chinese, they say, how many units do you want? And they take that to heart, that the people take that to heart, that they will get the productivity that you're after.
Hmm.
It's very important to them. They ask that first, and then the money comes second.
A lot of pride comes into it, doesn't it?
Yeah, culturally, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, the blame throwing around at the moment with China in all sorts of different areas, you know, let's probably put the virus aside for the moment. Oh, you know, we have to be more self-sufficient, which I would love to see, obviously, for more employment. But the reality you're actually making out very clearly is that we're not flexible enough. We work to rule probably too rigidly.
There's a DNA in our labour force movement that is not compatible with where the world's gone and where it's going. So I think we have to choose as a nation, and as a mature age Australian who probably will never I don't want to retire, so I'm in it to my armpits in wanting to make a difference. And the companies I work with and have the privilege to work with, they say that's gone. We've got to re-engineer ourselves and identify the skills that we need to fit into the new business model. We can't go back in time. It's not going to happen. And we might want to choose, if we want to bring up China, what's in the media lately about China, it's talking about the communist regime who hates Western democracy. Let's face it, they do. They don't want Western democracy to influence the region. They want to influence it. And that's another discussion which probably doesn't have to do with consumerism directly.
Yeah.
Very powerfully indirectly it does. So I think we need to look at, okay, what steps have we got to take to re-engineer our workforce to be in the high-skill digital remote area? And we're a remote country. We could be one of the leaders in that, or we are in many cases, but we could really make it our power play in the world market, I believe, and so do a lot of my clients.
In what area?
Well, take the areas like the digital way of like, there's a whole workforce. I'll quote a pharmaceutical company. Like, I won't name them, but they've got thousands of employees, and during the COVID era, they had to make most of them work remotely. Now, all the digital and IT areas that need to make that happen are skills that need to be identified and worked in. And we could move into that area as a nation. So we could reskill our workforce rather than be thinking manual and manufacturing manual. We could be in the IT area just to help companies be ready to work more remotely and use digital technology and artificial intelligence, that whole area. And I'm not an expert in that. I don't want to present myself as that. I am a person who challenges people to think differently about how you go into the future. Then you can't just relive the past as much as we all love it.
That's very true. Look, the only consideration I have in that particular area, there are certainly many thousands of people that are capable to make sure that works very efficiently. But there is a certain amount of our population that can't do that. They are workers. They're manual workers. And that we will always have and need people like that. So what areas of employment do you think that they could be involved in?
Well, I think that's got to go into the area that we're known for, and that is our hospitality and tourism areas, which is manual work, but it's not on a lathe or a woodworking machine. It's in the area of manual areas which we're very well loved for around the world. Every country wants to come to Australia and visit us.
Yeah.
And we could really make something special out of that.
So, Do you foresee then, sorry if I interrupted you there, do you foresee then in the future, when all this hopefully is sort of laying low again, that we will continue to buy as we have in the past, the lower cost items? And we're talking about, look, the price, you go into the Kmarts and people like that now, their homewares are so inexpensive. I can't imagine anyone wanting to pay double that. If it changed.
Well, it's a very good point. The do-it-yourself market, which has gone through the roof through the COVID time, with people at home looking at fixing all the things they want to fix. Where do they go? To Bunnings.
Yes. Yes.
Go and have a look at a Bunnings shelf and see where all the majority of products are made.
Yep, China. Yep. It's very true.
I'm chuckling, not in derision or in hopelessness. I'm chuckling because, you know, it's not the end of the world, but we need to make a decision. That's what's going to happen. We're not going to change it. We're not going to change the DNA of the consumer mindset of Australians. And I put my hand up and volunteered my information about my motor vehicle. Hmm. And it's my neighbour caught me because I was espousing.
You're only human, Paul.
So there's that. Then there's the DNA of our manufacturing history, which is preventing us from re-entering into a competitive market with China and India, and other countries who are prepared to make things well, make them highly productive, and make them at an equal cost. Mm. As far as what a manufacturer is willing to pay, and so they just get the number of productivity units up much higher, like triple.
Yes. When we lost our car manufacturing, of course, so many job losses. It was a heartfelt moment, I think, for all of Australians, losing Holden, off the run and that sort of thing. And
my first car.
Yes, I think everyone can pretty much say that, an old FJ or something. And you hear about massive job losses as a result. And those people, some of them have worked there probably all their lives from when they were a teenager. So for those people to have to adjust their thinking and retrain into, like you've suggested, perhaps hospitality or driving trucks or something like that, is something that just we have to take on board.
Well, it's a good point. People call it emotional intelligence, or psychological ability to cope with the change. And Hill was once said, people don't mind change, they just don't want to be there while it's happening.
That's right.
And we are. We're in it. So I think we can adapt. The human being, and Australians are great at that. I mean, that's what makes us a great country. We're great adapters. We're people that love to get in and try to work out the benefits of the change so we don't become victims of it. And I think that kind of thinking and emotional and psychological development needs to happen big time in people before they lose their job and the people that have lost their job. So they approach it with an adaptability and a resilience, which we are known for from a horrible example, but from wartime. We had the biggest population volunteer to be in the war of any nation per capita. Just check it out. We are people who will dig in and be there for our mates. And I think if we take that kind of cultural Australian DNA and move it into becoming adaptable for the future, that people find the light of where there is a light at the end of the tunnel, and it's a big light. They don't have to think it's going to be dark and dismal. I know it's horrible. It's confronting. But if we can help people get socially and cognitively capable, that I believe Australia will make the difference. But we've got to see the future and not live in the past.
I don't doubt you, Paul. Absolutely right. We don't hang on to too much nostalgia. We just move on and reflect on it occasionally.
Absolutely. I love the Victor lawnmower. I love the crow's voice.
Well, even those areas have changed now. So, and we've got to acknowledge the fact that in a race, in competition, the winner is a winner for a reason. And if they have can do what you've told us they're doing over there and we're taking advantage of that, hey, we've got to accept it.
Yeah. Can I just give six things that might quickly help people that your listeners, Jenny?
Please.
Look, just rapidly, quickly identify. It's not hard to do it on the net. Identify the skills that are going to help you as a person or a business recover. One, two, then build your employee and your team to have those new skills as soon as possible.
Yeah.
And launch into having a budget for those learnings so your people can be critically learning those skills, and they'll fill gaps. So even if they leave your employ, they'll be more skilled for the next one.
Yeah.
And I think we've got to start now, test rapidly, and keep reinforcing that point. Keep changing, keep learning. Yeah. Like one of my friends that employs a lot of people, he said when they had to put people off, he used to ring up some of them, see how they're going. They were at home playing Xbox and their Netflix. He said they should have been online learning something.
Yeah,
and,
yeah. You
know, he's not an anal person. He's a really good Australian guy, real world sort of person. We've got to be learning something. And I'd like to ask your listeners, what did they learn during this time? What did they read? What did they practice?
Yeah. Very true. It's not like you get in a job at 15 and stay in there until you get to long service anymore. That was our great-grandfather or grandfather's era. It is a world of change, and we just have to keep up with it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And be the instigators of it, not the victims.
Yeah, lead the way. Good on you, Paul. Oh, you've got me so inspired.
Well, I say this being a father of four children and a grandfather, so I'm not, again, sitting in some sort of, you know, reclused area. I've got a big family that's all wanting to know how we can get into the future, and I think that's what we have to do as Australians.
You lead the way, Paul. Thank you so much for joining us as always. Make sure you keep in touch.
Thanks, Jenny.
Thank you, Paul.